Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only Herbie Hancock, who's coming to the Kennedy Center on Tuesday night, August 8th. Mr. Hancock, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. This is an honor.
Oh, hey, thank you. Thank you for inviting me, Jason.
Anytime you want to come on WTOP. Now, we've seen you.
Well, here I am. Here I am.
Here he is. So it's going to be the Kennedy Center. Is this your first time back since the Kennedy Center honors?
Maybe. I'm always at the Kennedy Center for the honors, so I was there last year.
Yeah, I think we've even spoke to you on the red carpet a couple times for other people, but memories of the night that you were honored.
Oh, that night, it was pretty amazing. Actually, the honorees, we all kind of bonded together that day. I mean, it was great having Carlos Santana also received a Kennedy Center honor the same day I did, because we've been friends for many, many years, you know. And then to meet Shirley MacLaine was a joy, you know, and Billy Joel, and I mean, it was an amazing event. And it started off with Bill O'Reilly introducing me, which shocked everybody, yeah, including me, because I didn't know, you know, they don't tell the honorees what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it turns out he's actually a big fan of mine. That's what I had actually found that out before. But
oh wow, that's wild. Didn't also the, I think the if I have the right year, I think the Beastie Boys came out and Snoop Dogg came out and credited you, said thanks for creating hip hop in a way. I mean,
yeah. Snoop did, and I asked him later. I said, "Hey man, you're giving me way more credit than I'm due." And he said, "No, I'm not." He said, "If it wasn't for Rocket," he said, "I wouldn't be doing what I was doing."
Wow.
Because that's how he heard hip hop really for the first time. And that started him on that journey.
Absolutely. Or, I mean, even like, you know, Cantaloupe. I remember that hip hop group sampled your Cantaloupe Island. So yeah.
Us three.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, maybe he isn't giving you too much credit.
Well, I really appreciated it anyway. I really did, because I mean, it never occurred to me that Rocket would be the thing to really launch Snoop on his journey.
See, you never know who you're touching, you know what I mean? You never know. Who was it as for you as a kid? You know, if Snoop was inspired by you when he was young, well, who was it for you?
I mean, there were a lot of different people. I mean, harmonically, first it was the Four Freshmen and then the High Lows. They were vocal groups. Mm-hmm. They were doing modern harmonies. And it turned out that one of the writers for the High Lows was the main person whose arrangements I kind of gravitated towards. So he was a big influence. Donald Byrd is a big influence. He's the guy that discovered me also. Amazing trumpet player. Miles Davis, big influence on me.
Right.
But prior to that, I started off listening to not just classical music, but also to rhythm and blues. And a lot of what they call the doo-wop groups.
Yeah.
Back in the 40s. I mean, I used to listen to those groups, you know, and stand on the corner and go, you know, that kind of thing.
I love it. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so I remember it was the Midnighters was one of them, and the Five Thrills was another, you know. So that was like the music from my neighborhood and my peers. But my parents listened to Count Basie and Duke Ellington and Ella Fitzgerald and various other people.
Right.
It wasn't until I was in high school that I became interested in jazz. Mm. And what did it was when I saw a kid in my class improvising on the piano with a bass player and a drummer. He was doing something on my instrument that I couldn't do. And it sounded cool. So, and it seemed like they were having a lot of fun. So I said, I want to know how to do that, you know. And that was turning point in my life.
Yeah, the rest is history. You mentioned Miles Davis, and I know that you became part of the Miles Davis quintet there pretty early on in your career. What did you pick up from Miles in person, as opposed to just listening to him like when you were a kid, but now you're actually, you know, working beside him?
The first thing that I noticed was that he was listening to me and what I was playing and listening to the drummer. He was listening to everybody in the band when he was soloing and being influenced by the elements. In other words, we didn't just play something in the background that would be like just some kind of pad. We were playing ideas behind him, and he would respond to those ideas and react to them and use those ideas to help shape his improvised solos,
right.
Whether they were rhythmic or whether they were like linear ideas or melodic ideas or harmonic ideas. And it made the band sound like it was a band, because everything was integrated. And I was, you know, I'm a Buddhist, and in Buddhism we call that Itai Doshin. It's many bodies with one mind.
Wow.
You know, that's real unity, you know. And so that was the first thing that I picked up on. But the other thing that was really important is the fact that Miles always encouraged his musicians to not just play what you know. He said, I pay you to explore new stuff.
Mm.
I pay you to try things, he said. I mean, can't get better than that. Well, you get paid to even make mistakes.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do unexpected things, but in doing that, some of them are not going to sound so good.
Right. But you're paid to experiment, like you're saying.
Yeah. It was incredible. And I've tried to keep that in the work that I've done and with the groups that I've had.
Yeah, absolutely. Explain how that sort of factored into maybe you experimenting a little bit with the synthesizers. I know you're probably one of the first to weave that into jazz, right?
Yeah, I was one of the first people. Absolutely. That was a very important part of the various kinds of explorations I've done over the years. But what I really feel that it comes from is the fact that jazz is a music that expresses the moment.
Right.
And every moment is different. And so Miles has the courage to not just try to repeat something that you know worked in the past and so it should work now, but try to see what new things you can come up with.
Absolutely. Through doing that, you've come up with, man, so many different pieces that we, you know, the first like few notes you hear it, you go, oh, that's Herbie.
but we can't
go into all of them, obviously, but maybe take me just into your creation of Watermelon Man. Do you remember where you were when you came up with that?
Yep. I was 22 years old, and I had the opportunity to perhaps do a record on the Blue Note record label. And it was Donald Byrd that actually put that in place with the owners of the label, Alfred Lion and Frank Wolf. And anyway, what normally happened is that you prepare some pieces that you want to do on the record, and then you kind of play these pieces or these arrangements just by yourself for the owners of the label. And if they like it, you know, maybe they'll do the record. If they don't like it, they won't do the record. I mean, Donald Byrd, by the way, he really took me under his wing and took me in as a roommate and really showed me the ropes about the music industry and publishing and a lot of other things. Anyway, he told me half the record is for you and half the record's for the record company. I said, what does that mean? He said, well, half the record can be your songs. The other songs will have to be something that could sell the record. Because it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that then the things that sell are things that are familiar, like a blues or a song that has what they call rhythm changes. That's from Gershwin's I Got Rhythm, harmonic chord changes. Those were the two basic forms in jazz. And they still are. They're really the only set forms in jazz.
Okay.
So I figured I could do that. But then I started to think, oh, wait a minute. Horace Silver, he sells records. And they're his compositions. And so I said, well, what is it about his compositions that people like? And I said, oh, the kind of funky jazz compositions. So I'm from Chicago. If I can't write a funky jazz composition, I should turn in my city card. And so I decided to write about something that I was familiar with. And that was the Watermelon Man going through the alleys of Chicago. And that's what really started that composition.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. We could go into all your stuff, Maiden Voyage, Chameleon, there's so much. I mean, even TV, Fat Albert, or Around Midnight, you won an Oscar, man. You can do it all. Before we go, in closing, just give us a little tease of what we can expect at Kennedy Center when we come on Tuesday.
Well, hope you expect a surprise, because I never like to bring things that I've done before. I like to create something new, and some of the pieces that we're doing are pieces that I'm performing for the first time. Some of them have references to pieces I've done before, but it's a concept that I'm going to be using on my next record, which should be coming out maybe the beginning of next year.
Awesome. So a little teaser. So we'll get some of the favorites probably, but a teaser of the upcoming stuff. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do some of my pieces from the past, like I do Cantaloupe Island, Chameleon as an encore, and there's one called Actual Proof from the Headhunters band. I mean, I would do Rocket, except I don't have anybody playing turntables. It's hard to do Rocket without turntables. So,
man, we got to put out the word and get someone in D.C. has to have turntables that can come out. Yeah. All right, cool. Everybody, Herbie Hancock, Tuesday night at the Kennedy Center. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me.
All right, we'll see you there.
Okay, see you, Jason.